Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to Chauncey's Great Outdoors. This is the Chaunce talking this morning here, and I hope you're ready for a good show, good time, and a great outdoors. A little warm this weekend. Oh, my goodness, a little warm. But it'll be fine. It'll be fine. And thanks for allowing me into your home, your car, your headphones while you're laying in bed, maybe listening to the program or whatever. Remember to tell all your friends to tune into us at either ESPN Chicago app or go to my website at Chauncey's Great Outdoors and click on the word podcast. And then it's as easy as 1, 2, 3. You can listen to today's show. You can listen to one of the back shows. You can sign up for free to subscribe and have it delivered to you. It's simple. And like us at Facebook.com/Chauncey's Great Outdoors. You can't go wrong with it. You can't go wrong. And you know what? You never know who's going to be calling in on the program. So sit back, lay back, and enjoy Chauncey's Great Outdoors, the number one most listened to outdoor radio show in the Midwest and beyond. And we also want to thank all of our friends in Europe that are listening to us on the stream and across the country here in the United States and Canada, because we're broadcast-wise, you can hear us pretty much a lot of everywhere east of the Mississippi, but a lot more and more people are listening right on their cell phones just by clicking on Chauncey's Great Outdoors or the ESPN Chicago app. Okay, let's talk about today's show. No, before we talk about today's show, Thank you. All those people who came out to the Sox game last Sunday, oh, we had such a good time. We had a great time. I cannot say thank you. We gave away like 300 rod and reel combinations from the Illinois Department of Natural Resources, Urban Fisheries people. Their staff was there. So many people were there. It was absolutely a marvelous time. Every person I turned around was showing me pictures of fish, or little kids were excited because they were learning something. So thank you for coming out. And then on the day before, we were at the Illinois Muskie Tournament Trail, which we're going to be talking with someone later on, Danny Kornovich, to talk about that. So I don't want to get into that right now. Okay, we did that, but let's talk about this week's show. First of all, I'm hoping Captain Tony calls in, because sometimes he's busy, sometimes he's not. But we're going to hope for that he calls in this morning, gives us a Lake Michigan report. After that, Dan Kunyevich, who is and his partner Ken Miller, they have been fishing for years together for muskie tournaments. They fished the Illinois Muskie Tournament Trail, that's the IMTT, on the Chain of Lakes this past weekend. And they came in first place. Yay! Congratulations, guys. And after we talk about muskie fishing on the chain and all the other fishing in their club, the Fox River Valley Muskies, we're going to be talking with Ed Eich, the Assistant Chief of Fisheries for the state of Michigan, and he's going to tell us how they had to euthanize 30,000 Atlantic salmon fry to ensure the health of the fish in Lake Michigan and across the state of Michigan and the rivers and et cetera, et cetera. It's a really good effort by our fisheries biologists that are putting so much effort into making sure we have a healthy environment for all of God's great creatures and all of nature. So that's a really good, I'm looking forward to hearing from Mr. Eich. It's going to be good there. And then we'll have our outdoor information report and aid and fishing report in the final segment of the show. And like I says, you never know who's going to call in. Well, the phone is ringing. Let's see if it's Captain Tony. Captain Tony, how are you?
Hey, morning, John. How's everything going?
We're doing okay. How's the big pond doing?
Oh, it's doing fantastic. We are still catching cohos. The pods have scattered. If you can find a bait, you will catch fish. We did, the other day, we did take a rainbow and a trout during the middle of the week.
Mm.
Definitely some rainbows starting to move in out in deeper water, 140, 160.
Mm-hmm.
We got cold water against the beach, so this west wind is really changing things around.
Mm-hmm.
But there's still some of them big cohos around. I heard a couple guys tagging into some medium-sized kings right now. It's a good sign, and everything is good.
Real quick question here, Tone. When we have these storms, and you know, it's ugly in the morning, nice the rest of the day. Ugly during midday to afternoon, evening, and then it's nice during the morning. Does this mess up the coho and rainbows out there, or what happens?
Yeah, it tends to move them around with the winds and the currents that the winds create. They tend to move around a lot. I was running 9 miles one way for fish the other day.
Mm-hmm.
That's because we had all them storms ripped through. And I looked back on the inside because the water was colder. West winds always produce more cold water inshore, blowing the warm water over to the other side, and bottom water comes back. But, yeah, it screws them up a little bit. But, again, if you can find that bait, you know, it's going to move them somewhere, either north or south or out deeper. Just use your graph. You know, look, if you got a probe, check your probe. Make 52 degrees, ideal for cohos. Look for bait, definitely, if you can find a bait. I was going through some bait balls the other day, and as soon as we passed it, we were getting whacked. We weren't sticking them all. They're still falling off. But, yeah, the weather has a tendency to turn them on, to shut them down. I think the other day I went like an hour and a half without a bite, then we found them, you know.
And then it was boom, 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 boom.
Then it was boom, 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 you know, if you can get them to the boat. The coho's got them shoulders, like we always talk about this time of year, and it's hard to get them to the boat because they do that crazy roll. They charge you, they dart, they hit the rods, they hit the lure, and then they come right off. It's one of them things.
Cool. Well, Tony, if somebody wants to get a hold of you to set up a charter, because you are still getting, I mean, in record time, you're doing limit catches, and I know it can change any second, but record timing, you're doing limit catches for four people, two people, six people. It's absolutely unbelievable. I think you got a magnet in these fish, and then you're just drawing them in. But
well, it's a good year of fishing.
Yeah. And how do they get a hold of you?
Call me at on my cell at area code 847-366-0741. And if I don't get to you right away, I'll get back to you. I'm probably helping my mate net a fish.
Okay, sounds good, Tony. And what are we all yelling, Diamond Ghost?
Get the rod!
Fish on! All right, take care, my friend. You're listening to Chauncey on Chauncey's Great Outdoors. You know us. Hey, we know the outdoors.
Fish on!
This segment is brought to you by Diamond Ghost Charters. Give them a call at 847-838-2037 and get ready to yell, fish on!
This is Kevin Van Dam, and you're listening to Chauncey on Chauncey's Great Outdoors.
Papa was a fishing man.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Chauncey's Great Outdoors. And on the phone, we've got the latest We Are the Champions. Da, 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 da. I know. Don't lose my day job or middle of the night job, whatever this is. But we've got Dan Konovitz from he was in a tournament. Dan, thanks for coming on the show this morning.
No problem, Chauncey. It's an honor.
You were in the IMTT, which stands for the Illinois Muskie Tournament Trail, this past weekend, and you're also, you know, with the Fox River Valley Muskies Club. But this tournament that was on the chain, it impressed me. And, you know, I want to talk about that and a few things with the club and stuff like that. But first of all, congratulations on your first place finish.
Thank you.
You and your partner, who was your partner that day?
My partner is, his name's Ken Miller. I've been fishing with him about 15 years now. We caught three fish that day.
You caught two, he caught one, and he was a very good net man, right?
Yes, he was very good at netting. He's been good at netting for many years.
So congratulations on winning that. But a lot of people don't think, you know, when you say, oh, we're going to go muskie fishing, we got to go up to, you know, Mercer and Minocqua and Eagle River and the Upper Peninsula. No, you don't, folks. It's right in our own backyard, right?
That's correct. You're right, Chauncey. The Fox River or Fox chain has become a destination for muskie fishing now within North America.
Mm-hmm. And it's only going to get better and better. Real quick, the three fish that you were able to put in the tournament, once again, and it's interesting, you don't come and bring the fish in through a weigh-in. You measure, photo, there's a way they, you know, verify it. But you caught the three fish that came into the boat. How big were they?
Approximately 38 inches, 35, and 30 inches.
Not a bad day of fishing, if you ask me.
Not a bad day of fishing. And my partner and I had a strategy, and we were able to fish on one lake by ourselves, which, you know, there were a number of boats in there, but we had no competition for the spots down in the area we were fishing.
That's so cool. That's so cool. Well, congratulations on that tournament, you and your partner. And then we've got, I think your next one's coming up. And anyone could be part of this tournament, right?
Correct. Anybody can fish the IMTT, as it's known. Mm-hmm. And there's another, the next outing that they have is down in Lake McMaster in central Illinois. And that's going to be September 28th.
Cool. Now, let's talk about muskie fishing a little bit, my friend.
I know a little bit about it.
Yeah, you knew a little bit about it, but I mean, what's the line? Muskie, everything else is bait or something like that, isn't it?
Yeah, that's absolutely true, right? I used to have that on my license plate holder.
So, I mean, we really, you know, the clubs like, you know, Fox River Valley, and were other clubs also involved?
Yeah, there's another major club within the Chicago area. It's Chicagoland Muskie Hunters.
Mm-hmm.
Between the two of us, we have probably 500-plus members, and we give a significant amount of money to the area's fisheries each year to stock fish.
Yeah, and, you know, you stocked fish the chain of the state this year. Somebody turned a light on, and they put in 3,000 fish.
Well, actually, I did a little research in between our for this, and it was a bit more than that.
Oh, was it? Give me some numbers, buddy. Give me some numbers.
Okay, give you some numbers. So the state last year, let me just get my... The DNR last year stocked 2,000 of the 10 to 14-inch fish, which I guess you would call them fingerlings.
Yeah.
And they did an additional 7,600 4-inch overstocked fish.
Mm-hmm.
So they had overproduction within the hatchery last year down at Jake Wolf, and they were able to stock an additional 7,600 fish down in Stakey Lake last spring.
Cool.
So, you know, state alone last year did 9,600 fish, and the FRV club that I'm the president of, we did another 1,160 fish in the chain. So last year was almost 10,000 fish going into the Fox chain of muskie.
That's really cool. That is really cool. And, you know, a lot of people, when you hear of a fishing club, even, you know, the Fox River Valley Club, the Southside Muskie Hawks, whatever, These guys and girls that are make up these club meetings, they like to fish for everything, not just muskies.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. I mean, we're not only a muskie club. In fact, a number of us went out to the Detroit River this year and had a pretty good outing out there, you know, catching those whopper walleyes. I've got a freezer full of them now, so all right. Good.
I'll be by about 3 o'clock to pick up my package. But
no problem. Come on over.
Yeah. Now, you know, but that's just that, you know, the clubs are doing the FRV, you know, club, Fox River Valley, you know, they do so much for the fishing, for programs, helping out other organizations. You go to a meeting, you can join the club, but it's a fun group of people. I love these guys and girls because there's some dang girl good fishermen in these clubs.
Absolutely.
You know, they must have been taught by my mother. My mother could catch a fish in a damn mud hole, I think, and she was that good. But, I mean, these are some of the really cool things that a club does. You know, some of the other things that you can learn a lot of things from the members, can't you?
Absolutely. We have a lot of good fishermen that fish for not only muskies, but like you said, many other fish species. And they're willing to share information of not necessarily the spots they've been catching the fish on, but, you know, areas that they've been catching fish, locations of lakes and places to go. And one thing about, like, FRV or Chicagoland Muskie Hawks, or being part of Muskies, Inc., there's also a great database out there of what's known as the lunge log that shows you years and years of catch experience that you can research lakes before you go out there to find out what time of year is the best, what color lures, what type of lures to use. Mm-hmm. There's a bunch of information that's available to a member of Muskies, Inc. And also, again, like you said, the resource of the members.
That's cool. What other little research things did you do since we last spoke?
Research?
Yeah.
What has FRV done?
Yeah.
We have been helping other muskies organizations within the Midwest. So research, we recently gave some money over to the Iowa, one of the Iowa chapters, to see what size fish is the best to stock, whether it's the 10 to 14 inch or overwintered fish that would be close to 20 inches, to see which is the best survival rate. So they're putting trackers or pit tags within those, mm-hmm. and trying to figure out what's the best size to stock for survival rate. So we're getting into funding that type of project. We're also helping the Chicago and Muskie Hawks or Muskie Hunters with stocking of Lake Geneva. That's another up-and-coming fishery that's within our driving area here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just 45 minutes away from my house, that's got potential now of 50-inch fish, just like Fox Chain does. So Chicagoland's been putting muskies into Lake Geneva now for the past 10 years, I believe, and there's some dandies out there also.
I mean, those, and, you know, it's growing and growing. I mean, you know, and you don't even, we've been talking the Chain and Geneva, Bussy Lake. I mean, there are people catching 35-plus inches, even another 40-plus inches of muskie.
Yeah, Bussy Lake, we had actually the Cook County, one of the guys from Cook County Forest Reserve in, at our club meeting last year, telling us about the stocking and also the catch and the shocking or the netting they've been doing out there. And they've documented 35-plus inch fish out in Bussy Woods now.
Yeah.
So that's a fishery that's right around all of us. You can rent a boat, fish from shore.
Mm-hmm.
Not going to say that muskies are easy to catch there,
mm-hmm.
but it is another, you know, urban area that you can go fish. The other one I would mention would be Mallard Lake down in DuPage County.
Mm-hmm.
That gets a sizable muskie stocking going on also.
Mm-hmm.
So there's lots of easy access areas within the Chicagoland area.
Yeah.
But going back to what you said, or we were talking about the Chain itself, just the number of fish that have been going into the Chain is making it into a, you know, a destination. Last year alone, there were five 50-inch documented fish out of the Chain last year. So it's getting to be one of those fisheries that, you know, you don't have to travel to Canada, northern Wisconsin in order to catch that elusive 50-inch fish any longer.
Some kid fishing bluegills with a Zepco 33 is going to wind up setting a hook on a 50-inch muskie. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, there's many of them caught walleye fishing out there. You know, by the guides that are out there, that they catch a lot of muskies doing that walleye fishing right now.
Yeah, well, you know, when I've been out, it's been a couple of years, but, you know, a few years ago I went out with Mr. Gutman, and I went, you know, when I was bass fishing, I caught muskie. When I was muskie fishing, I caught walleye. I didn't know what I was doing, you know. But
yeah, Phil's a good fisherman. Mr. Gutman taught me a lot throughout the years, so mm-hmm. I got to give him credit for turning me on to many, many fish.
Yeah. If somebody wants to learn more, or you know, and once again, you know, there's a number of muskie clubs in the area, but the FRV club here that we're talking about, Fox River Valley. When do you guys meet?
We meet the third Wednesday of each month. That's Chandler's Steakhouse in our Chop House in Schaumburg.
Mm-hmm.
So we are right now. We're on our summer vacation period, but our meetings will pick back up on the third Wednesday in September.
Cool.
And the meeting time is at 7 p.m.
And if somebody wants to get more information, could they do Facebook or wherever?
Yeah, you can look up Fox River Valley Muskies on Facebook, or you can go to our website, which is frvmuskies.com.
Okay. And I'm getting a note from somebody. They want to know what you were using for bait on the Chain.
My partner caught the 38-inch on a Phantom, and I caught my two on a bait that's called a Sidewinder. It's a bait that one of the guides out of Indiana turned me onto.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very unique bait that you haven't seen many people use up here in the area.
Cool. Well, Dan, keep us posted on what's going on with the club and the tournament excitement and who won the next one, et cetera. We love to hear it on Chauncey's Great Outdoors, okay?
Sounds good, Chauncey. Looking forward to having you MC our next tournament next spring.
All right. You're listening to Chauncey. I'm Chauncey's Great Outdoors. You know us. Hey, we know the outdoors. Let Waterworks Marine make this summer even more fun with a new boat powered by a Mercury outboard and save you money. Waterworks has a special low interest rate of 7.49% for 180 months with only 10% down. And you, your family, and friends can have the time of your life on the water with a new boat powered by a Mercury outboard. And no one can match this special program. And Waterworks wants to help you save money. Just think, the new boat powered by a Mercury outboard and 7.49% interest rate for 180 months? Come in now and pick out the boat of your dreams. This program is only available at Waterworks Marine at 18660 South Cicero Avenue in Country Club Hills, or call them for more details at 708-798-9700 about the 7.49% financing. See you there. Daiwa's new TDI walleye rods that includes spinning, casting, and trolling rods is at your favorite tackle shop waiting just for you. Just hold one of these extremely sensitive rods, and when you match it with a Tatula reel, oh, you have a fish-catching machine. So stop in at Triangle Sports in Antioch, Anglers International Resources in Palatine, Dave's Bait and Tackle in Crystal Lake, Illinois, Fish Tech in Morton Grove, Lee's Bait and Tackle in Elk Grove Village, Fishing Connection in Tinley Park, and Angler's Outlet also in Tinley Park, and hold a new TDI rod and feel the future of fishing today.
At the Boy Scouts of America, our oath remains. A scout pledges to be kind, helpful, and brave. We're committed to providing a safe and welcoming environment where scouts can establish the foundations of character that will last a lifetime. Our approach ensures the Boy Scouts of America is building the youth of today into the leaders we'll turn to tomorrow. The Boy Scouts of America. Building character is in our nature. Visit scouting.org to learn more about scouting.
For more information about joining a scouting unit in Northeastern Illinois, call 847-433-1813. That's 847-433-1813. When you're fishing for salmon on Lake Michigan with Diamond Ghost Charters, the two words every fisherman loves to yell is, "Fish on!" And Captain Tony of Diamond Ghost Charters will put you on the fish when you're ready to go. A salmon fishing trip with Diamond Ghost Charters is a perfect way to spend a half a day or a full day for two, four, or six people. Diamond Ghost has a charter package for any size group of friends, family, and co-workers just for you. So let Diamond Ghost Charters hook you up with a spring coho, a chunky summer salmon, or a trophy king. Call Captain Tony at 847-366-0741. That's 847-366-0741. And get ready to yell, "Fish on!" You're listening to Chauncey on Chauncey's Great Outdoors Radio Network. For more information, contact us at chaunceymedia@aol.com. This segment is being brought to you by Waterworks Marine, 18660 South Cicero Avenue in Country Club Hills, where every boat sold is a fun certified boat.
Up this morning before the sun, fix me some coffee and a honey bun. Jumped in my pickup, gave her the gas. I'm going out to catch a 5-pound bass.
This is Johnny Bench, and you're listening to Chauncey's Great Outdoors.
All them people sleeping in their fishing camps, some out in the pup tents, some out on the grass. They all be dreaming about the 5-pound bass. Billy Birdie always gets his worm.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Chauncey's Great Outdoors again. I hope you've poured yourself a cup of coffee here, or maybe you're having a little soda, depending on what shift you're working, or maybe you're laying in bed with the headphones on. You know, you don't want to disturb anybody else in the room with you, but, you know, welcome to Chauncey's Great Outdoors. Well, on the phone with me right now, I'm pretty fired up about this, because if you've listened to me for any time in the last 26 years, you've learned that I love the science of fisheries and fishing, because they go hand in hand. And right now we've got Ed Eich on the phone, who is from the state of Michigan. And your full title, Ed, is, why don't you throw it at me again?
Sure. I'm Assistant Chief of Fisheries Division.
Which means he's the second guy in line, besides taking out the garbage and doing the windows, responsible for all the fish in the state of Michigan. You know, you got to make sure the office runs well, too, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, Ed, last week I picked up on a release from the Michigan Department of Natural Resources, which, you know, anybody who knows me knows I used to live in the Muskegon area, for north of Muskegon, for a few years on a Boy Scout camp. But you guys had to do something that you really didn't want to do, but by your actions, you literally could have saved the fisheries of the salmon fisheries of Lake Michigan for years to come. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's true. We had to euthanize a group of Atlantic salmon that were that had contracted bacterial kidney disease and had a very active disease outbreak ongoing.
Mm-hmm. Now, bacterial liver disease. First of all, what is it? What did they get it from?
Well, it's bacterial kidney disease, not liver.
I'm sorry.
And it's a disease that is caused by the bacteria that's named Rhinobacterium salmonellarum, and that particular bacteria has been in Michigan for a long time, probably since at least the 50s, as far as we know.
Mm-hmm.
And it's endemic to Michigan. It's in virtually all the Great Lakes waters at some level. And unfortunately, it's also in our some of our captive brood stocks at very low levels. So it's very possible that they either picked it up from the feral brood stock that those eggs came from. It's brood stock that come back to the hatchery be collected and spawned and then released again. So it could be passed from the parents to the eggs, or it could have come from. It could have been shed by the brown trout that were positionally upstream of where the Atlantics were while they were in the hatchery at Harrietta. So we know that the brood stock for the brown trout the year that those eggs were collected were higher than normal in bacterial kidney disease incidents,
mm-hmm.
But not super high, but a little bit higher than normal. So it's possible that they picked it up that way. Atlantic salmon, especially this strain that we work with, they provide a great fishery, and they're an awesome strain to have. But we also know that they are particularly fussy, I guess is the word. They're sensitive to just about any pathogen that comes down the pike.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, you know, someone's going to say, well, oh, my goodness gracious, look at, you know, you had to euthanize, you know, 30,000 fish, but you know, you have to put this all into perspective. You did that to protect the 20 to 30 million that you stock a year of all fish in the Michigan waters.
Sure, not just the fish that we stock, but the fish that are naturally reproducing of you know all the lake trout and the Chinook and the coho and the Atlantic salmon, or excuse me, steelhead and for that matter lake whitefish that are out there. They're all at some level susceptible to bacterial kidney disease, and the last thing that we want to do is stock actively diseased fish of, you know, with any disease, but
yeah,
particularly bacterial kidney disease, because it's that particular disease is known to have been a major contributor to a significant decline in Chinook salmon populations across the Great Lakes in the mid to late 1980s. So we know it can have a major league impact on wild stocks.
I remember the drop of salmon in Lake Michigan in the 80s. I very well remember that, because it's like, where did they go? Where did they go? Now,
yeah,
you know, BKD, the thing is, and this is, I'm really curious, and I'm so happy you're on the show. I mean, you know, the fish don't have a runny nose. How do you find out they have this?
Well, we put our fish through, through a pre-stocking inspection every year prior, and so they have to be cleared of a whole suite of pathogens that are identified in the model program for fish health management in the Great Lakes. That's a document that all the agencies that are co-managers of the Great Lakes put together as part of the Great Lakes Fish Health Committee, and it identifies certain pathogens that we have to be shown to certified to be free of if we're going to stock those fish. And so that's that's how it was found. It was actually officially identified through that inspection process. But prior to that, staff had been noticing that those Atlantic salmon at Harrietta were actually starting to increase in mortality a little bit. And they were seeing signs, you know, outward signs of disease. They weren't feeding as well. They were acting a little bit lethargic. So anyhow, we shipped the requisite 60 fish down to the Aquatic Animal Health Lab at Michigan State University, which, by the way, is one of the top fish health labs in this part of the country, if not the entire country. And they did their usual inspection. So they opened them up, euthanized the fish, open them up, and look at their internal organs. And they saw lots of signs internally of disease. There was evidence in the kidney and other internal organs that there was a problem. They suspected it was bacterial kidney disease, and they did an assay called ELISA, by which they're able to quickly identify that Rhenobacterium salmoninarum, the causative agent for bacterial kidney disease, was there. And then they collect they take part of that tissue and they use it to inoculate a media that's known to work well for growing that particular bacteria. And that confirmed it. And then they confirmed it with PCR analysis as well, that it was in fact bacterial kidney disease. And once we got that diagnosis, we tried to treat it. We tried to treat it with an antibiotic, but the fish there were enough fish in that group that weren't feeding well because they were sick, that we couldn't deliver a good antibiotic regimen. They just weren't taking it in. And that's really the only way you can deliver this particular antibiotic to fish of that size is through feed.
Well, yeah, because you can't give them a shot.
You can. I mean, we do injections of our brood stock, but you can't give 31,000, you know, 6-inch fish a shot. And you can do it with the adult fish, but you can't do it with fish of that size.
No, it's kind of tough. And not to sound, I'm not making a joke here, but I once participated in a fin clipping project with the state DNR hatchery for salmon. Mm-hmm. Let me tell you, those little fish, it's not easy to hold on to them, I can tell you.
No, it's not.
And imagine trying to give them a shot. Well, but see, so many people, Ed, and we're talking to Ed Eich, everyone, who's the assistant director of fisheries for the state of Michigan. When you say fish hatchery, people think, okay, you got these concrete runways, you've got, you know, big concrete holding tanks or whatever, and you put fertilized eggs and they hatch and you just feed them a little bit every day and they get to a certain size and then you just release them. That's the farthest thing from the truth to make sure that fish is healthy to release, right?
Oh, yeah, there is a ton of work that goes into maintaining the hygienic nature of the rearing environment, just trying to maintain good animal husbandry practices takes a lot of effort and takes a lot of water flow, and it takes reliable mechanical systems. So we've got, you know, we have not only a team of fish culturists that are actually doing the hands-on work with the fish every day, but we also have staff that are dedicated to just maintaining the facility, very well-trained, highly skilled maintenance mechanics and trades helpers that keep the water flowing the way we need it to.
Mm-hmm. And whatever state you live in, whether it's Michigan, Indiana, Wisconsin, Illinois, Kentucky, Tennessee, Georgia, if, you know, go on the DNR websites, any of the states that you live in, and see if they're doing a open house for their fish hatchery. Even if it's a couple of an hour ride to wherever it is from where you live, you're going to walk out of there going, wow, I didn't know that. And that's all to keep the health of what we enjoy a couple years down the road. And, you know, Ed, I got to tell you, I mean, I can't tell you how many salmon and trout that I've caught, whether it's been in Lake Michigan or the rivers from Muskegon up to the, you know, Marquette, et cetera, that I really want to say thank you for you and the staff of doing so much hard work to keep it healthy for us.
Yeah, we have an incredible staff. We really do. They're very dedicated. I mean, we make sure that somebody is on call 24/7, 365 days a year, whether you're talking about, you know, Easter Sunday or or Christmas Day or Christmas Eve or Thanksgiving or whatever, there is always somebody that's, you know, well, there's always somebody that works every day. We have somebody there during the day shift every single day, including mm-hmm. the holidays and weekends. But we also have an on-call system whereby staff can be electronically alerted if there's a mechanical issue that they need to address. So we're always at the ready. And the, you know, the effort that they put into producing those fish is impressive. Mm-hmm. And they take it very personally when things like this happen. So, you know, from my perspective, it was very easy to know what the right thing to do was with these fish, given their conditions. So I could say the decision wasn't an obvious decision, but it wasn't easily made.
Mm-hmm.
Knowing the effort that had gone into those fish, and I'm not just talking about the financial investment that we had in them. Those fish had been in the hatchery for 16 months or so. But I'm talking about the sweat equity that the staff put into them. The commitment that they had put in is always significant, and you know, for them to learn that these fish are suffering from a disease of that type,
mm-hmm.
and to know that, you know, and they knew when they were feeding that antibiotic laced feed, they could see that the fish weren't taking it well.
Yeah.
So they unfortunately probably suspected that it was going to come to this, and to have to issue that order that, you know, you have to euthanize those fish, and that's just, that was a bad day for them. I can tell you that. Day for me.
Sure. I mean, you know, they're your buddies, they're your pets, they're not your pet, but you know what I'm saying? It's like you got 30,000 dogs that you walk in, you talk to them every day, you feed them every day, you know. It's just, you get attached to this and with what your job is. And, you know, you and your entire staff, just for keeping the Great Lakes safe for the, literally, you know, every day I hear from the charter captains off on Lake Michigan, yep, we got another limit. Yep, we got another limit. Those coho are getting bigger. The Atlantic salmon are looking great. The kings are looking beautiful. I mean, you think about the work that goes in from these fisheries biologists that work for the different states, with stocking fish. We're talking about Lake Michigan right now, but just anywhere that the fisheries biologists put so much effort, time, and love of their job. And trust me, these aren't high-paying jobs, I'm going to tell you, everybody. You know, they're doing it because of the love of the outdoors, the love of the science, and the love of wanting to make it better for everybody else. Ed, thank you so much for coming on the program this morning and telling us why you guys had to euthanize 30,000 Atlantic salmon in Michigan, but you know, it's only made it better for all of us down the road, right?
Absolutely. You know, one of our primary responsibilities, it's a constitutional requirement, is that we protect the health of the aquatic resources in, mm-hmm. in Michigan, and that's 100% what this was about. So it's, you know, doing what we had to do. And Chauncey, I'd be remiss too if I didn't mention, you know, we've been talking about the hatchery operations, but
yeah.
You know, there's all of the field managers and the research folks too that also pour their heart and soul into managing and maintaining not just the Great Lakes but all the inland waters in Michigan.
Exactly.
You know, and we've got far too small of a staff, I'll say that right now, but an incredibly dedicated staff, and they're just every day I'm more impressed every day with the commitment that they all have to mm-hmm. to doing their jobs for the anglers. And you know, the bulk of them are also anglers, so they have a personal and a professional interest in it. But whether they're anglers or not, they're all 100% committed, and it's really a neat thing to see.
Cool. Once again, Ed. Once again, everybody, we're talking with Ed Eich, who's the Michigan DNR Assistant Fisheries Division Chief, and we're talking about a little problem that they. We're able to take care of with some Atlantic salmon stocking and making the great outdoors better for all of us. And I want to say thank you from the bottom of my heart for that.
Yeah, you bet, Chauncey. Thank you very much. And if I could, I had one more thing I would like to add to, just for perspective. I don't want to, I'm not saying this to downplay at all the fact that we had to euthanize these fish. That's a horrible thing. No question about it. But perspective wise, that's 31,000 fish out of, you know, our rearing target for our excuse me, for our Atlantics is roughly 210,000, mm-hmm. With about 180,000 going into Lake Huron waters and 35,000 going into one inland lake, Torch Lake. Every site, all of the five sites got fish. So we still were able to stock fish at all those sites. So the Atlantic salmon fishery, while this was a bad thing, it's not going to break it, not by any stretch.
No.
There's still a lot of good fish out there, fishing out there to be had. And for further perspective, that's 31,000 out of 6 to 7 million trout and salmon that we stock annually. And if you roll in the cool water species, the mm-hmm. muskies and walleyes that we stock, we're talking 20 to 30 million. So it's, you know, certainly 31,000 fish, having to euthanize them is a horrible thing, and it's a big chunk of fish.
Yeah.
But when you look at it in perspective of all of the fish that we stock, it's a long way from breaking fisheries in Michigan.
Exactly. Well, Ed, I'm going to let you go because I know you got a busy day planned for yourself and everything else, and I'm going to go try to wet a line after the show myself, okay?
All right, very good. Thanks, Chauncey. I appreciate the opportunity to talk to you.
Thank you. That was Ed Eich, the DNR Fisheries Division Assistant Chief for the state of Michigan, on our program here. Thank you so much. You're listening to Chauncey on Chauncey's Great Outdoors. You know us. Hey, we know the outdoors.
Steven.
Who said that?
Me, down here.
Ugh, what are you, a yellow booger?
I'm a banana slug, Steven.
What are you doing in my room?
I'm your sense of adventure. It's been a long time since we've had an adventure in the forest.
Mom took me to the forest last year.
I'm a slug, Steven. It took me a long time to get here.
You're right. I should get out.
Yeah, the forest is not that far away.
Hey, Mom!
Come to the forest where the more adventurous you lives. Check out discovertheforest.org for cool places nearby. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
Paul's Pizza and Hot Dogs on 31st Street and Wolf Road in Westchester is the place for that true classic Chicago hot dog and the best Italian beef sandwich large enough to share. Paul's Pizza and Hot Dogs in Westchester also has specialties like an Italian sausage and beef combo, gyros, pasta, Italian steak, eggplant parmesan, ribs, salads, daily specials, and even the best flame-broiled hamburgers. Make Paul's Pizza and Hot Dogs on 31st Street and Wolf Road in Westchester your favorite. It's ours.
Let Waterworks Marine make this summer even more fun with a new boat powered by a Mercury outboard and save you money. Waterworks has a special low interest rate of 7.49% for 180 months with only 10% down. And you, your family, and friends can have the time of your life on the water with a new boat powered by a Mercury outboard, and no one can match this special program. And Waterworks wants to help you save money. Just think, the new boat powered by a Mercury outboard and 7.49% interest rate for 180 months? Come in now and pick out the boat of your dreams. This program is only available at Waterworks Marine at 18660 South Cicero Avenue in Country Club Hills, or call them for more details at 708-798-9700 about the 7.49% financing. See you there.
Oh, hello there. My name is Eden and I'm a Cub Scout. I'm here to talk to you today about becoming a Cub Scout like me. Cub Scouts get badges for doing fun activities and we make friends. Scouts go camping, climbing, fishing, and swimming together. We have fun. We play sports and go to parades. Scouts also help people and become the best versions of themselves. Visit beascout.org and you'll be able to find a pack near you, get your questions answered, and sign up online.
For more information on joining Cub Scouts or Scouts USA, dial 847-433-1813. That's 847-433-1813.
Daiwa's new TDI walleye rods that includes spinning, casting, and trolling rods is at your favorite tackle shop waiting just for you. Just hold one of these extremely sensitive rods, and when you match it with a Tatula reel, oh, you have a fish-catching machine.
Chauncey's Great Outdoors is brought to you by Waterworks, the number one Lund and Lowe dealer in the Midwest, 18660 South Cicero Avenue in Country Club Hills, 708-798-9700. Midwest Outdoors, the magazine for the true Midwest sportsman, MidwestOutdoors.com. Paul's Pizza and Hot Dogs in Westchester at 31st and Wolf Road.
GP Italiano, a true family Italian restaurant, or a restaurant just for you and that special person at 11 South LaGrange Road in LaGrange, Illinois. Go to info@gpitaliano.com. DiamondGhostCharters.com for the true salmon experience on Lake Michigan.
Well, let me tell you a story about a little fella.
It was the name to Chauncey on Chauncey's Great Outdoor on ESPN Radio AM 1000 in Chicago.
When the bass ain't biting and the trout are gone, try the bluegill boogie, you can't go wrong. He's a little cousin to the big boss bass.
Hey, everybody, welcome back to Chauncey's Great Outdoors. And we got a couple news items, and then we got some fishing reports and what's happening in some activities. Lots of stuff to cover in the next few minutes. So hang on to your seats because I'm going to have to pop through these pretty quick. First of all, the Illinois Department of Natural Resources is looking for volunteers, citizen scientists. I love that, don't you? They sent me a press release that said they're looking for you to go out and find turkey brood surveys and to help biologists by monitoring turkey trends and populations. And all they want you to do is count, you know, when you see a little flock of turkeys or a single turkey, they want to know male, female, and how many young. And you can fill out a form online at the Wild Turkey Survey on the Illinois DNR website, or you can send them a postcard and tell them what you saw. For more information, just go to the IDNR, Illinois Department of Natural Resources website, hit search engine, and just put turkey survey. You should find that. Hey, in Indiana, right next door, they got a baby in the family. Yeah, they got a little baby. I don't want to call it little, though. They had an American bison born about a week ago in, I'm going to mess the name up, of the state park. I think it's Obachi State Park, and it's just another one added to their permanent herd that calls the park home. The calf was born somewhere around June 6th, and the last one that was born was like 2 years ago, but everybody, all the adult bison in the family are kind of protecting it. Nobody can even get close enough with binoculars even to see if it's a boy or a girl, so they're just going to have to wait. But it's kind of interesting to watch this. The bison's mother and the rest of the herd are keeping those calves pretty well close to the, as they say, the apron strings, okay? They don't wear aprons, though. So. They've been there since, I think, what, 1962 is when that's when they came in there. I'm not quite sure. I'd have to go to check my records. But there is a gate fee to get in the park of like $7 for in-state residents and $9 for out-of-state residents. So you could definitely check that out. In the Forest Preserve District of Cook County this weekend, today at 8 a.m., that means the show's over. You hit down a cup of coffee, quick sandwich, a couple of eggs, and shoot over to the Nesting Bird Walk at Trailside Museum in River Forest. That's a really easy walk. A lot of great people. Their staff is so good on everything. Oh, my God. And they'll talk about the different nesting birds that you can find. And then on Saturday, also from 9 a.m. to 12 p.m., the whole family is invited out to Bussy Lake for a day of outdoor fun. It's a free fishing derby, tree climbing, nature play, animal encounters, and more. They're going to have local food there and all kinds of neat stuff to go for you to enjoy, have fun with, and a fishing derby. Can't miss that at all. That's at Bussy Lake from 9 to 12 today, so check that out. Also, on Juneteenth celebration, the reenactors in a Civil War military uniforms are going to be out at the Sandridge Nature Center, and they're going to celebrate freedom, family, and country with all kinds of activities. That's from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m., arts, crafts, education stuff, history, culture, all there in South Cook County. Sandridge Nature Center is at 15891 Paxton Avenue in South Holland. That's pretty cool. Now, this is almost as good as opening day of smelt season, opening day of whatever, and maybe Pierogi Fest. No. But it's free fishing weekend in Illinois. That's right. It started yesterday. It's from the 14th to the 17th, and it's for anyone. It's not just limited to Illinois residents. Please note that. The 2024 Free Fishing Illinois Days is this weekend. 4-day celebration. You have to follow the rules of all you know, size and take, etc. But you don't need a license or salmon stamp or inlet trout stamp or anything like that. But you do have to follow the rules, and the state of Illinois doesn't worry if you're an in or out of state resident, so definitely check it out. You know, I might go check out some of those perch on Lake Michigan on Sunday, and then maybe a little salmon fishing on Monday. Oh, yeah. No, well, I need my, so it's gonna, I'm ready for it. I'm ready for it. Okay. Definitely, you're not going to go wrong here. All right, let's get to the Aiden Fishing Report. This is brought to you by our friends at Waterworks Marine, 18660 South Cicero Avenue in Country Club Hills. Remember, special financing rate, give them a call, 708-798-9700. Ask them about it. Oh, you know, they're going to put you in a boat really quick, and it's going to be a beautiful new Lund or low boat. You can't go wrong. My grandson Aiden says, Papa, the big pond was slow, so Dad, Sis, and I fished Big Blue and Cleveland Lake and off the pier in White Lake by the boat. Bluegill were all on the beds and close to shore. Some bass were just a little deeper, and we saw carp moving through like big submarines around our boat. It was really cool to watch. Samantha, a girl from my class that I talked to, what? You want to talk to me about this, Aiden? A girl called you and you... Aiden? You and Papa are going to have a conversation here, okay? from school called me and told me about Grand Haven. She said salmon were slow for the boaters out on the lake, and the ones that did catch them were in 40 to 90 feet down in 90 to 160 feet of water. Orange spoons worked really good with white flashers, also with green flies. The people on the pier caught freshwater drum while casting spoons for steelhead, but some steelhead were caught, and they were very excited, also using alewives and shrimp. Tell your dad I'll send you a fishing report for next week also. Aiden's got his own fishing report system now going on? You know, he is 14 years old. Okay. Uncle Tom went to Lake Erie. He said walleye are being caught by anglers using night crawlers near the International Buoy. I had to ask him where that was. He said it's where Michigan, Canada, and Ohio all bump together. On the Michigan side, he was, though. Walleye were also caught straight out from the River Raisin. From the River Raisin. Along the Michigan-Ohio line. Like I said, everybody, I specifically don't read this until I open it up for this show. I wonder if it's the River Basin or River Raisin. We'll find out. Largemouth bass were caught in the channel out of Sterling State Park. He saw people doing it, but he was more looking for walleye. Perch fishing reopens in Illinois Lake Michigan on Sunday. Don't forget that, people. He sent me a little tag on that. He says, remember, tell everybody, Grandpa, that you can go perch fishing again, because I want to get a couple of perch fillets when I come and spend a week with you. Yeah, they're coming to spend a week, go fishing for a week. Okay. who knows what we're going to get when the perch open. I mean, it could be very good for us. It could be a little bit tough. Just remember that. We'll keep trying. But a lot of area lakes are producing some really good fish from Lake McHenry County, DuPage County, a lot of forest preserves. Cook County has been on fire for bluegill, some crappie action, and things like that. So let's not pass that up. I just, what can you say? When it's that good, it's that good. Braidwood Lake, I know they're doing okay for catfish. They're doing good for catfish. Stink. Cut bait, bluegill pieces, anything on the bottom seems to be catching fish in that area. Heideke Lake, Captain Tony's brother was out there, and he said that he saw crappie. Jim Kupchow, the crappie professor, had a big walleye in his boat. He said, so action is doing quite well out there at Heideke Lake. Let's not pass that one up. Up on the Chain of Lakes, let's not miss this either. There are a lot of bluegill are in 5 to 8 feet because they're on the beds, and this is the time if you want to catch hundreds of fish and keep throwing them back, this is when you want to go. Those bluegills are hungry, small bits, small spikes. Whack them and stack them, jigs, small ones, white chartreuse, that's all you need, and it's one, boom, 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 boom. It's that fast. Tom Pomisano said he took a walk down to the Chicago River, and he said, once again, everybody tell everyone it's a free fishing weekend coming up here. Okay, I am, Tom. But he said, I saw a lot of fish from smallmouth to bluegill to carp and even largemouth bass and some smallmouth bass since I taught him what to look for in the difference. He said there's a number of fish being caught from the walkway and from anglers in boats in the Chicago River. Delavan Lake, the last report I got from Delavan, my good buddy Daryl said largemouth bass are in a, you know, after spawn period, 3 to 4 foot depths. That's where you want to work with in about 12 to 15 feet of water. Just drop shotting a like finesse bait, something a 4-inch worm, nothing goofy, nothing big. Bluegills, all over the shallows, all over the shallows. You can't beat that. Fox River, smallmouth bass are quite active. Yes, they are. And a number below the dams and even downriver, wibbas, downriver, fishing the deeper holes. Man, I'm telling you, we got a big fishing report going on here today. The northern pike are a little bit strange up on, what do you call it, Geneva. It could be better, but they're getting those largemouth bass and smallies just off the little deeper area. Perch are biting, but they're all little dinks. You can use them for bait. Kankakee River, once again, clearing up, looking good. Smallies are chasing a lot of baits and a lot of fish in that area. Indiana Lake, Michigan, they're definitely a place to go there. I would not pass that up. Get out of the, you know, go to harbor and go east, young man, go east. And that's, they seem where they'd be doing quite well. I mean, you can't beat that, some of that fishing activity. And they're picking up some perch off the humps. And so you don't be afraid to fish some salmon and go fish something else and just go back and forth. You can do quite well in the Indiana waters of Lake Michigan. Got that. Northern Wisconsin, they're just starting to spawn some largemouth and smallies, so they're just moving in. They're a couple of weeks behind us, but they're doing some quite well on jerkbait, swimbaits, a lot of different, you know, almost pretty much anything you want to throw at them. Crappie, we're up shallow, kind of staging. Some days they're tight to wood. Other days they're 5-6 feet off the wood. Remember that. So let's not pass that action up because you just got to go with the flow. Go with the flow, as they say. And supposedly, crappie are doing good at Chabanon Lake and walleye, but I have not gotten any pictures. Catfish, I know, are doing okay there on cutbait and chicken livers. Ooh, I could go with a mess of catfish. Doesn't that sound good? Yep. Oh, I can go with that right now. Oh, we got that. I think we covered a lot of fishing today. But man, we really did. But really, well, I want to make sure you all know that this is free fishing weekend in Illinois. Get out, enjoy the great outdoors, have some fun. That's what we're supposed to do when we're doing the great outdoors. This weekend and any weekend, because it's a fun thing to do. Oh, I can hear the flute tearing up here, and that means we're coming to the end of the program, and I like to leave you with a Native American proverb. This one comes from my friend Apensui Majowat. He says, every creature on the earth knows more about nature than man does. Respect that. Every creature on the earth knows more about nature than man does. Respect that. How very true, Apensui. How very, very true. Please remember, we don't own the woods, the rain, the storm, the fish we catch, or the birds we're chasing, or whatever. We're borrowing it all from our children's children. See you next week, everyone.